everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of The Punt. The EFL boys are back in form with two successive winning trebles. We'll hear from them later in the show. DK and Alex are reunited to preview all five Premier League games, including the Manchester Derby. We've got 3 3 o'clock kickoffs to number crunch, and we'll hear from Derek as well. First though, it's Everton versus Chelsea. DK, take it away.
Thank you, Emma. A warm welcome along, everyone. Alex Dunn alongside me to look at the Premier League this weekend. It's always a good day when I get to chat football and betting with you, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you, Dave. Sacking season, we're in the midst of it, but you're still here. That dreaded vote of confidence, didn't you?
I've been given two more shows.
No, I'm looking forward to it. The football's coming thick and fast. I've really enjoyed the midweek of Premier League action as well. It's a real treat, and being able to watch every game as well is a novelty that hasn't worn off yet. So, no, looking forward to more football coming our way.
Well, let's get stuck into Everton versus Chelsea. Goodison Park, 12:30 kick-off on Saturday, this one. Everton 5-2 to win the game. The draw is 11-4 with Chelsea, and the betting at even money. Enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app. Couple look good as well. Tammy Abraham to score two or more was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 11-2. And if you think Richarlison's going to score first, that was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. By the time you're watching this, Marco Silva might have been given the boot. I want someone to put him out of his misery. I don't know what he's done in a previous life, Marco Silva, but everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Leicester had that late VAR decision that went their way. Mm-hmm. Everton lost that game 2-1. Midweek was interesting because they had the Merseyside derby, and I think it's an indictment of where Everton are at the moment that Jurgen Klopp decided to rest Roberto Firmino and Mo Salah in that game, and they still beat Everton 5-2.
Everton defensively looked appalling because they played five at the back or three at the back with wing-backs, changed the system a bit, and you thought, OK, that might work in a game like this. And then for some reason, they just kept getting caught out over the top. I mean, they've not been good.
And it's not been all Marco Silva's fault. I think it's a recruitment process. They've not bought the right players.
That's the key for me. Transfers have been, on the whole, pretty shocking for Everton. Over the past couple of seasons, really, quality signings that have worked in the team, you could probably count on one hand. In fact, the one standout would be Richarlison. He's been the only one who's come in. And even at the time, people went, they've overspent with him. And they may well have done that. It was a lot of money that they spent. But they've spent a lot worse money since then. I mean, some of the players they brought in just don't, they don't either fit a system, or if they do fit the system, they're not playing at their best. It's a really, really sticky patch for the Toffees at the minute.
I didn't even mean
to do that. No, they're just in a bit of a rut, and they're going into these games in the relegation zone. This isn't early in the season anymore. Mm. It's nearly Christmas. They need to book their ideas up and do it soon.
What about Tammy Abraham? He had that knock, came back from a slight injury, and scored again midweek. He looks sensational. He's been a real star performer for Chelsea this season.
He doesn't seem to do much other than score.
Yeah.
That's no bad thing. And without him, of course, they lost to West Ham to Chelsea last weekend. He just is in the right place at the right time. They create a lot of chances, Chelsea. We know that. Defensively, they are suspect. We know that as well. So this is a game that could be anything, really, because entertainment-wise, you've got two sides who defensively are struggling. Going forward, when they are at their best, look really threatening. It's quite a difficult one to weigh up. And I'd say it's priced up about right, because initially you look at Chelsea at around the even money mark and go, yes, please. But then you think, well, actually, now that I think about it, could I see Everton getting something here? I actually could. I know that we always say Everton are too short in the betting. I'd say this game's priced up about right, personally.
Everton won this fixture 2-0 last season. They need a big performance here. We're looking at Richarlison. He's going to be the man if Everton are going to get anything from this game. I fancy Richarlison to score any time.
That's my pick as well, to be honest, Dave. Chelsea are a tempting price, but I've just got a feeling in this game that Everton, they have to turn it around sooner rather than later. Mm. And I think this could be the game that could define their season. I expect a lot of energy. I expect something just a little bit different from them. And Richarlison is the man to make it happen. So I'll take the result out of it and I'll go Richarlison anytime, same as you.
Richarlison to score anytime for myself and Alex in that game kicking off at Goodison at 12:30 on Saturday. Now, let's get number crunch. This is one of my favourite features, and it's with John Gibby this week.
It's time for the thinking person's part of the punt. Let's take a look at some stats-based bets for the 3pm kickoffs. We start at the Vitality, where struggling Bournemouth host league leaders Liverpool. Eddie Howe's men have lost their last four games and registered only two home wins all season. Liverpool have lost only once in their last 26 away games, with their last two trips to Bournemouth ending as 4-0 wins. Liverpool minus one on the handicap must be value at 11-10. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is the next port of call as Spurs take on Burnley. The Clarets haven't travelled well this season, just one win on the road coming at bottom of the league, Watford. They haven't won away at Tottenham in their last eight attempts in all competitions, dating back to 1974. You'd expect Tottenham to take the spoils here, but they do struggle to shut out their opponents, conceding in six of their seven home Premier League matches this season. Spurs to win and both teams to score looks good at 17-10. We finish with bottom of the league Watford as they host Crystal Palace. Zero is the key and rather damning stat for the Hornets. That is the sum total of their home wins in the league this season. Palace have been decent on the road. 10 of their Premier League points have been picked up on their travels, including a win away at Manchester United and a point at Arsenal. Can you believe the price of an away win here? It's massive at 11-5.
Let's move on now to the Manchester Derby. City taking on United at the Etihad. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday for this one. City 100-30 on to win this game. The draw is 9-2. Manchester United 9-1. Loads of enhancements on the website and on the app. Raheem Sterling to score and Marcus Rashford to score in the game. 11-4 out to 7-2. Gabriel Jesus starred midweek, of course. He got two in that game midweek. For him to score two or more in this one was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1, which could attract a few punters. I want to start with United, though, here, because I said on the midweek mini-punt that it was a dereliction of duty that Manchester United weren't pursuing Mauricio Pochettino. And then they go and beat Spurs midweek, and everyone's chanting Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's name again. But I just think that's papering over the cracks, that performance. I thought Spurs were insipid and United played well. Marcus Rashford starred again. But I still think, listen, I'm sticking to my guns here. I don't think Solskjaer's the man for the job.
No. I mean, if you asked 100 people who's a better manager, Solskjaer or Pochettino, 99 of them would be correct.
Yeah.
And have one idiot who probably Ed Woodward. I'd say it's Solskjaer. The issue then is, you know, do you have to still pay compensation to Spurs? I think you do, Pochettino. I don't think it's as easy. It's not like he's just stood there waiting for someone to pick him up.
I think it's 15 million, though, in the grand scheme of things. Oh, it's
agree.
A drop in the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Man U have chucked worse away on players, haven't they?
Absolutely.
I'm still not convinced. And watching them against Spurs, I think, for all that United played fairly well, Spurs sort of did hand them the game a little bit. I thought Spurs were really, really poor.
Oh, they were terrible.
And the key for Manchester United, we mentioned the fact that Martial and Rashford have worked really well together since Martial's come back into the team. Mm. He, of course, was missing midweek, but Rashford stayed left, and it was Greenwood up front.
Yep.
Now, Greenwood didn't do much, but just the fact that Rashford's able to peel off and play on Serge Aurier, as he did on Wednesday night, that could be key. The thing is here, I put it to you, has the gulf between these two ever been greater than it is right now?
I don't think so. Not in the Premier League era, definitely not.
No, because you look at the fact that City are massively odds on here, and you still think, well, it could be shorter.
But have City been this vulnerable in the last 3 or 4 years? Because you look at City's recent form, I know they won midweek again 4-1, but both teams have scored in the last eight meetings now, in the last eight City matches. And and at the back, they've been so poor without Aymeric Laporte. And this is something we mentioned on the punt previously, that they're just not watertight anymore. And I think United will fancy at least going to the Etihad and getting a goal in this game.
Most teams do now.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it. City's vulnerability is only at the back, though. Everywhere else, they're absolutely fine. Aguero goes out, Jesus comes in.
Yeah.
Scores a couple. I mean, Aguero is a little bit better, but I mean, you're nitpicking there, aren't you? I just think City will win. And I think if you have an accumulator, you could probably put them in and that's okay. It's just how to get a bit more value if you're looking for an outright pick in the match. That does make it more difficult because City's players are fairly short to score any time. Mm. You look at Marcus Rashford, he's around 2-1, I think, to score any time. And you go, well, yeah, you couldn't really have him much shorter than that because
I actually think that's quite appealing.
It's okay. I did consider it. I don't mind it, but it's not knockout value, is it? It's a difficult one. Mm. Even City minus a goal is still odds on.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to find something here. So I'm looking forward to it. I think City will win. I just think that they are so much better than Manchester United that even if United come and put a 9 or 10 out of 10 performance on, as long as City don't drop below 6,
yeah,
they're not going to lose, are they?
My best bet this weekend comes in this game. I think Manchester City are going to win. I think both teams will score in the match. City's last 8 have seen both teams to score. And maybe if you're looking for a bet, the Silvers have starred in this fixture in recent times. So perhaps Bernardo Silva or David Silva to get on the score sheet in this one. But I like City to win and both teams to score. What do you fancy?
Yeah, City have got a fantastic record scoring first recently in these games as well. So you can expect the home side to come out of the traps early.
Yeah.
I do expect a home win and a fairly comfortable one at that. But as you mentioned, there is that vulnerability for City at the back at the minute. And I can see Manchester United scoring. They could score twice. It probably won't matter because City will outscore them. City and both teams to score actually looks a really, really good bet this week. For all that City are fairly short in the outright market, you add the both teams to score caveat and all of a sudden you're getting quite a juicy price. It's quite a confident pick for me as well.
Agreed on both games so far then. A City to win and both teams
to score.
Bit
worrying that, isn't it?
It is slightly concerning. City to win and both teams to score in the Manchester Derby on Saturday night.
Have you seen this?
Love it.
How did they get a box?
It's overrated up there.
But this Bill Gerrard's from William Hill is brilliant. 3 or more goals for us, 12 corners, 4 cards.
What, you can create your own bet?
Yeah, and you get instant odds.
Oh. Oh. Oh, boys!
At least we're warm.
Make it your bet. William Hill, build your odds.
Sunday, 2 o'clock, we've got Aston Villa versus Leicester at Villa Park. The latest betting, Aston Villa 100 to 30. The draw is 3-1. Leicester in the betting at 3-4. If you fancy Leicester to win and both teams to score in the match, that's available at 2s. Villa in that market, 6-1. The draw in that market, 7-2. I've been quite impressed with Aston Villa. I know they've only picked up 1 point in those trips to Stamford Bridge and to Old Trafford. But you saw them a few weeks ago. They beat Newcastle 2-0 and it was a decisive performance from Villa. Never really troubled by Newcastle. And I quite like Villa.
They've done very little wrong, have they?
Yeah.
Throughout the season. And though they are still down there, I don't think they'll go down. I don't think
there's much
danger of that, really. Unless things change pretty drastically. They seem solid at the back. They have enough threat going forward. Wesley hasn't come in and scored loads of goals, but he holds the ball up well. And when you've got the likes of Jack Grealish, who's playing fantastically well at the minute, they're going to cause teams problems. Again, you look at this game and it's very easy to be tempted by Leicester because they've been so good. And the 3-4 that you mentioned on Leicester seems absolutely fine. If you're putting it in an accumulator, I'm not going to stop you here. But at the same time, I would advise caution because Villa are no back number at all. There won't be many teams go there and win easily at Villa Park. We saw Liverpool go there and stumble their way to a victory in the end. Mm. It's not an easy place to go. So I'd advise caution because you are taking an odds-on price on a side that at the start of the season you would not have had as being odds-on in this game. That said, Leicester's form recently has been absolutely phenomenal. They don't look like stopping, do they?
They've won the last 7 in the Premier League, Leicester. But I'm with you to a certain extent. I actually would put people off backing Leicester City in the prices this weekend. I think Villa have a good shot of picking up at least a point, maybe getting all 3 in this game. One bet that I like here, Anwar El Ghazi to score at any time. He's really impressed me recently. He's available at 16-5. I think this is going to be really tough for Leicester. I actually fancy Villa in the game. And I think that the price is quite appealing about Villa. I think Leicester might slip up in this one.
It's a possibility, isn't it? Leicester were playing it, well, against Everton. I still don't really know how they won that game because Everton played fairly well for most of it.
It's probably a testament to what Brendan Rodgers is doing that Kelechi Iheanacho came off the bench and scored. And then he didn't feature midweek, but he's still managing to keep him happy kind of thing.
Yeah, and Watford is, again, Leicester were, ludicrously short against Watford, but it's justified. This is the thing. Leicester are second and they're not second because they have fluked it. They are playing good football. They don't really have many weak links in the team. I know that we've ummed and ahed here about Villa.
Yeah.
I completely get what you're saying. I would outright wise probably leave it and look for something a little more intricate. It's not a game I have a strong opinion in, but I like both teams. They're two sides that on normal weeks I'd have no qualms, you know, putting both in a bet when they're playing other teams. When they're playing each other, it does make it more difficult. Style-wise, it'll be interesting to see who can actually dominate this game. I just have a feeling that Leicester's midfield will have too much for Villa's midfield. I can see Tielemans and Didi Madison having too much for Hourihan and Grealish. And
yeah.
I just think Leicester could edge it there. But they are odds on, so.
Tough match to call, this one. I actually want to swim against the tide here a little bit. I'm going to go with Villa to pick up 3 points and shock Leicester City in this one.
I certainly think that's a possibility. It's a really, really tight game. The key for me is that Leicester, for all they've been on this fantastic run, they don't score loads and loads and loads of goals. They score 2 goals in every game. 5 consecutive games now in the Premier League that they have scored exactly 2 goals. So if you want to get involved with that, you can. I'll play 2-0 Leicester, because stats say if it keeps happening, keep backing it, and it's a fair price as well. It's a difficult game to get a handle on. I'll take a correct score, 2-0 Leicester.
Okay, difference of opinion there. I'm going with Villa. Alex taking a shot with Leicester, correct score, 2-0.
You lot have been taking the powers that be to the cleaners recently with winning Accas galore. And you get even bigger prizes by using your Bet Boost. Just put your picks in your bet slip. If there are 3 or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger.
On to Brighton versus Wolves at the Amex. This is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Tight betting heat this one, Mr. Dunn. Brighton are 17-10, the draw 11-5, with Wolves in the betting at 7-4. I saw bits and pieces of that match against West Ham on Wednesday night. Wolves controlled the game despite conceding possession in that match. West Ham found them very difficult to break down, couldn't get on the score sheet in that game. And I think it might be a similar scenario here with Brighton. I don't know if they've got the quality to get out Wolves. And I fancy Wolves might pick up 3 points.
It could well be the case. I would just say to start with, who's better, Brighton or Wolves? Quite simply.
Yeah, Wolves are the better side.
So this seems remarkably simple and quite a rudimentary way of looking at betting. But if you pick the better side to win games, generally that should land more than it shouldn't. Sadly, that's not always the case, is it? But Wolves are better than Brighton, therefore the price on Wolves is fairly tempting. Mm. You mentioned Wolves don't like possession. No problem with that. There's a few teams in the Premier League this season who are quite averse to having the ball. And that's fine, because all you've got to make sure is that when they do get it, they actually do things with it.
And Newcastle, Brighton, one of those sides?
Newcastle are one of those. Well, they don't do much with it all the time, but they don't have much possession. When Newcastle played Wolves, I thought it could end up being almost dodgeball, the ball in the middle and two sides just waiting for the other one to get it. Brighton have the ball. They have a lot of the ball. They keep it. They play nice triangles. Doesn't always get them places. Just sometimes. And I quite like watching Brighton, to be honest. That's not a downer on them by any means.
Yeah.
But style-wise, expect Brighton to have the lion's share of possession here. But I think Wolves, effectiveness-wise, effectively, if you will, I just think the away side will, I think this will play into their hands, if you like. And on the counter-attack, I think they can cause problems. These two have met plenty of times in recent years in the Championship and last year in the Premier League. Goals are hard to come by in these games. Just one last year across both games. That went the way of Brighton. I think you have to go back 9 meetings now between the pair for the last over 2.5.
Okay.
So I expect a similar kind of scoreline here. I do think it'll be tight. I think Wolves might just come out on top.
This is a difficult game to predict, it really is. And I think we're both favouring Wolves in this fixture.
I think Wolves are just the better side, quite simply. I think tactics will come into it. Expect Brighton to have the ball, Wolves to hit them on the break. I don't think we'll see loads of goals in this game at all. I thought about putting Wolves 1-0 up because Wolves have scored in every single Premier League game this season with the exception of the opening day. But then I thought, do you know what? For all that Wolves 1-0 is quite tempting and a nice price, let's just go for Wolves. They're a fine price on their own. Outright, we'll go for an away win.
Wolves to win at the Amex then. 4:30 kickoff on Sunday, that one. Now, it's time to hear from Derek McGovern, and he's got a bet for Monday Night Football.
Manchester United do battle with Manchester City on Saturday, and for once, local bragging rights will not be at stake. there's little to brag about in Manchester. The city, it promises to be the easiest derby win since Shergar's. That was back in 1981 and I remember it for two reasons. First, it was the first derby winner I'd ever backed. Second, it was also the last. How bad are United? Here's the first clue. At the time of writing, they're below Sheffield United. Here's the second. At the time of writing, they're below Arsenal. I really think I'll keep on writing. They say form goes out of the window in a Manchester derby, but United's already has. Yet at least they're on course to fulfil their number one priority, to knock Wolves off their perch. City have not been at their best this season, but to beat United, you don't have to be. City, 2-7 to win the game, are evens to keep a clean sheet, and the only people interested in that will be everyone. Watford haven't won a game at home this season. Crystal Palace have won three away. That's more than anyone outside the top four. Watford are bottom and managerless. Crystal Palace are fifth, well, they are at the time of writing, and have Roy Hodgson, so virtually managerless. Watford somehow are hot favourites. Something doesn't make sense. I think it's me. Palace are 11-5, and there's a two-word phrase that sums up that bet. Christmas money. Get set for another Panic Monday. Arsenal are in action, this time at West Ham. The Gunners are odds on, which tells me that the William Hill odds compilers haven't seen them this season. Given the paltry attendance at the Emirates last week, not many have. The only team Arsenal have beaten away from home in the league this season are Newcastle, and yet they're odds on to beat a team who've just beaten Chelsea. West Ham are 13-5.
The Hammers then, Derek's best bet this week. Let's talk about this game, West Ham versus Arsenal, Monday Night Football. The Hammers are 13-5 to win it. The draw 3-1 Arsenal in the betting at 10-11. Don't forget, you can build a your odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app. I might have been wrong about West Ham. On paper, they look really good. But there's definitely a lack of commitment and desire at the club. There's only really Declan Rice that and Martin Noble that seem to put it in each and every week. And they've been a little bit disappointing, haven't they, really? I know Arsenal have too.
Yeah, this is the thing in this game. You've got two sides who have underachieved recently.
Yes.
West Ham started the season so well. They beat Man U 2-0. And you thought, springboard. And they thought, no, let's go the other way. They've been really, really poor recently. But then they go to Stamford Bridge and win.
Yeah.
And you think, could this be a turning point now? Are they going to go back? And then they lose at Wolves and you think, oh.
It's so West Ham. It is. West Ham in a nutshell.
But do you want to back Arsenal?
Not odds on.
No, it's not for me, I'm afraid.
No.
Away from home, they're just not, they don't do it for me. We must have covered most Arsenal away games this season. But I feel like a broken record. You can't confidently side with them. When they're this price, go and find a better bet at the same price because there's bound to be one.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the markets here and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's only marginally shorter than Arsenal are in the outright. I'd much rather side with him because he's prolific. And if he notches, you might think if he notches, Arsenal might win. But they're not like that. Arsenal concede plenty of goals, don't they? So I'd much rather side with Aubameyang to score any time than Arsenal to win the match, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, we highlight week in, week out that Arsenal on the road don't keep clean sheets. So would you still want to back Arsenal at the price that they are if you give West Ham a goal? You wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't.
No.
That does make it difficult, though, because that sounds a lot like you're going to have to back West Ham here. And that's a difficult proposition. As well, at the London Stadium, I just think if this was at Upton Park, you'd think, go on then. Have a good go at them.
Yeah, under the lights.
I think London Stadium's a bit easy to go to.
Yeah.
You can go there and it's a big pitch and you've got a lot of room and you can play and pass.
Fans are miles back.
And it'll play
into
Arsenal's
hands. There's no hostility there, is there?
No, it will play
into
Arsenal's
hands. Even for London Derby.
Exactly. So it does make it difficult, but I think eventually I'm coming down on the side of West Ham here. As much as they've been poor, I don't want to be with Arsenal.
I reckon both teams to score is absolutely nailed on in this game. I think we could get four or five goals in this fixture. I fancy Aubameyang to score at any time, even though it's a short price. I'm leaving the outright out of things here. I'm going with over 3.5 goals as a bet.
Take that West Ham win at Chelsea out of it, and they've been in rank form. Arsenal on the road, don't convince. Just the one away win in the league so far this season. That was on the opening day of the season. Makes it quite difficult. But I actually think it's quite easy. Go for the bigger price here. West Ham are really temptingly priced. I quite like them double chance as well. Take the risk out of it, if you like. West Ham, all the draws are a fine price as well.
Yep.
But for me, Arsenal on the road, a bit like you, Dave, They're soft and they're too short. I'm going for West Ham here.
Thank you, Alex. West Ham the pick then for Alex. Now let's hear from the guys that are covering the Championship, League One and League Two. Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross with their best bets this weekend.
My Championship nap of the week is Reading at 6-5. The new gaffer's doing a pretty good job there. They've won three of the last five games at home, and the teams who've beaten them in that period, by the way, Fulham and Leeds. Not going to hold that against them. For Birmingham, well, just two away wins so far this season. They've struggled to get anything in the last five, albeit they have drawn a couple. I don't think they're going to have anywhere near enough to match a side who, when they get going against teams they should beat, are starting to beat them. Reading 6-5, my Championship nap of the week.
My nap this weekend is a side who are scoring plenty and winning plenty. A very good combination. Oxford at 3-4 at home to Shrewsbury. Oxford's last four home games, they've won 3-0, 3-0, 3-0 and 3-0. And the game before that run, they drew 3-3 at home. James Henry recently scored 6 goals in 3 games. Look at him to score any time. Shrewsbury, by the way, away from home, 2 goals in 5 away games, none in their last two. And their last visit to Oxford, they lost 3-0. Oxford, my nap at 3-4.
There are no odds on League Two outrights, but there really should be. Leaders Swindon, 5 League Two wins in a row away at Grimsby, still looking for a new manager who haven't won a game since September in any competition. 3 draws, 7 defeats in that time. Swindon, 5-4. That's good. Owen Doyle, though, 17 League Two goals. That is more than twice anyone else's total. He has scored in all of his last 7 games. He's 6-5 to score any time. Also good. However, that includes 5 goals in his last 2 away games, and he's 7-1 to score more than once here. It is big, but you cannot ignore it. Owen Doyle, 2 or more goals, 7-1.
I must admit, I'm pretty worried. 7-1 shot for Al Ross, and he's creeping up on me. No one wants that. Al Ross edging closer to the top of the table. And Owen Doyle's been something of a saviour for Mr. Ross so far this season.
He has. It keeps popping up for him. And, yeah, a massive, massive price for Al. He's put his neck on the line there because it's very easy to just play it safe. But, no, he's gone with that. You're with City and both teams to score.
Yeah, 6-4, that is. And by the way, if you had a tenner on each selection each week, you'd be over £350 in profit so far this season. And if you just ignore Derek, which a lot of us do, you'd be £380 in profit this season. So, yeah, I mean, I fancy City to win and both teams to score. They're a much better side than Manchester United, obviously. And both teams have scored in City's last 8 matches. They're just leaky at the back without Laporte.
I quite like that bet, to be honest. Yeah. I considered it. I considered putting Newcastle up, actually. They did me a solid last week. Mm. Up to Southampton.
I said to you, you needed to be more brave in that.
Yes.
And go with the plus one.
Yes. But hey,
didn't listen to me.
No, but it still landed. And
you
it
never listened to me.
7-5, 6-4 in the end. So,
oh yeah,
okay.
I've not gone to you about the pop that you had at, about my social life last week either.
Yeah, what was wrong with that?
Oh well, it was true, but
actually very correct.
But we can't all just be drinking Iron Brew in our underpants and watching Premier League years reruns like you, can we?
What a day! That sounds great, doesn't it? What are you doing Sunday, by the way? No, I considered that.
Yeah,
I considered Newcastle.
This is pretty dangerous, though. You've gone with a bet that links in with Derek's.
Well, again, I'm playing it safe.
Yeah,
safer than Derek is, anyway. I do think West Ham are a good price, but double chance is 10-11. That is... that's great. I love that because...
Manor from heaven.
Arsenal, just away from home, they don't convince. And if you're getting close to even money around Arsenal not to win away from home,
yep.
I'm taking that. One other person to mention, I tweeted about this last night, actually. Serge Aurier is a man who... is the least defensive defender you'll ever see. But Jose Mourinho is looking to harness that, I think, and he's basically saying, go on, get forward.
Yeah.
The left-back tucks in for Spurs. Aurier becomes a midfielder. He's basically in the box for every attack that they have, and he's big prices to score any time. Just something to keep an eye on over the coming weeks, months maybe. I'm certain he'll be scoring in the next few weeks, and you are getting big prices. But, yeah, I'm with West Ham on the draw, and hopefully that'll be a Monday night treat for me.
Thank you, Alex, for your company.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and either watched or listened to the punts this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app, and we will be back for more Premier League fun next weekend.